This morning we are going to continue our journey to the Ten Commandments. And what's a wonderful thing is that we already have two down, right? The first one, and you want to summarize, is basically it says that make sure you don't worship false gods. It's easy to summarize, right? Don't worship false gods. The second one, don't worship the wrong way, the wrong way. So these two, I mean, you know, almost like foundational principles. It makes sense, right? Don't worship the wrong God and don't worship the wrong way, which is like making idols or making images of God and stuff like that. But the third commandment, do you know what it is? You see, it's even harder to know what it is, right? The third commandment is like, almost it sounds like a good reminder, you know? It's not so foundational, we feel, because it's not so clear. What do we do with that? Where do we put it? And yet it's so important. And it says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Exodus 20, verse 7. You see, Jesus is protective of his name. And God also wants us to honor his name. If you think about the songs that we just sang this morning, all of them were about praising God's holy, powerful name. Because names are very important. Names are crucially important. I remember, one of you telling us stories about the Netherlands. And in 1812, the French took control of the Netherlands. And they said, from now on, every person, every family needs to have a family name. So the French pushed them to come up with a family name. And, you know, there's a lot of vans, right? So the French were sitting down with a pen, and one guy comes and says, so the French, they ask the person, says, so what is your van? You know, like Van Basten or, you know, Van Damme. And he said, I don't have a van, you know, which means basically my name is not with a van. But in Dutch, it's like Zonder, I don't have a van, Zonder van. So he's, oh, Zonder van. So he became Zonder van. No, I don't have a van. So you see, names are important because it speaks about who we are, where are we coming from? Where are we coming from? If somebody is named Van Basten, you know, or something like that, you know that they come from the lowlands, right? From the Netherlands area. But also, do you remember as parents when you had a hard time picking up a name for your child? I remember our first child 20 plus years ago, we were thinking what to do. So finally, we came up with this name for our first daughter, and we called her Zea Maria. Now, like I said, names tell you from where you are from, right? The people here in Grand Rapids, they thought, oh, Zea must be a Romanian name, right? So they come from Romania. It must be from Romania. My family in Romania thought, oh, they are in the United States. This must be an American name. Really, that's what they were thinking. And it's neither. It's neither. Then as a second child, we thought, well, we shouldn't create this confusion. But we almost were out the door of the hospital, couldn't pick a name for our son because we had so many, you know, that we had. And I remember the social, he said, did you pick a name? Did you pick a name? As we were walking down the hallway, we said, yeah. So we picked David. He said, hey, it's in both languages. But look at his middle name, right? We said, at that time, we thought, we'll go back in Romania and he has to spell his middle name the Romanian way, right? Edward. That's how we spell in Romania, because we didn't know where we are going to end up. But names tell all of us where we are coming from. And it's linked a lot of the time with our identity. You see my name, you know, I'm Daniel Budd, right? But my middle name is this one. Do you know how to pronounce it? Just try it. I'm just curious. How do you pronounce my middle name? Yeah. But you see, it has three vowels, I, O, and A. It's basically John. So my middle name is John. My father's first name is John. And John is a very common name back home, because it's a biblical name and so on and so forth, right? But it's hard to pronounce. I will get these phone calls, you know. We are from your mortgage loan company. Can we talk to loan? I said, no. That's not loan. But three vowels are not easy to pronounce, right? Do you know that God also has a very common name that has four consonants only? By the way, do you think Do you know which one is the most common name for God, especially in the Old Testament? What would you say? Just take a guess. There's no failing. Which one? Yahweh? Yeah. Yeah, it's these four consonants. Yahweh. These four consonants. They are consonants. You know, by the way, many, many hundreds of years in the Hebrew language, they didn't have vowels. It was just consonants. So that's how you spell the name of God. And they are basically consonants. And in Hebrew, you start with the right. That's how you read the other way. And you go to the left. So you start with Yod, He, Vav, He. So that's how you read in Hebrew. This is God's name. And the most common, the most used name of God is this one. And we have these four letters, YHWH, and it's what we call the tetragrammaton, which means the four letters used almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament. The most used name, and it's pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah. But we don't know what's the right way because from the 3rd century before Christ, some of the Jews, they took this commandment, the third commandment, and when they read it, they said, what is the Lord saying here? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. So they went to the extreme and then said, what if we use it by mistake? So let's not use it. Let's not even read it. So they said, this name is unpronounceable. You cannot say it because it's so holy. It's so holy. Even the scribes, when they were copying God's name, those four consonants, before they would write it down on their papyri, on their scrolls, they will wash their hands several times, sometimes for minutes, hours, then write the name and then wash again because this is holy. You don't play with God's name. God's name represents His identity. It talks about the Holy One that holds everything together, the most powerful person, the most holy, the most glorious. I remember one, even in our contemporary time, a rabbi was teaching in a school, and one of the students uttered the name Yahweh, and he jumped out, and he went far away. For 3 days, nobody knew where he was. He was in a cave, hiding, and pleading with God, please forgive me because I heard your name uttered. Now, that's maybe an extreme, right, you say? The Lord wants us to pronounce His name because it's almost 7,000 times in the Bible. But it is a holy name, nevertheless. What do you think is the second most used? If Yahweh is the first one, what do you think? You see, even in our commandment, it says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord. And then it says, your God. Of the Lord your God. So the Lord your God. There's the second name, your God. The first name, the Lord, we translate with Yahweh. Right? So every time when you see in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is written in Hebrew with those four consonants, when you see the Lord is Yahweh, that's how it is spelled. You know now, with the four consonants. But when you see the Lord God, is Elohim. So basically the commandment says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, the name of the Yahweh Elohim. Two powerful names that you must not misuse, the Lord says. And you might say, you know, yeah, okay, so this is Hebrew, this is Old Testament, this is ancient time, but what does it have to do? What's the big deal with God's name today for me? You see, in the ancient time, Moses was the one who was revealed. The Lord came to him in the burning bush and then said, go to Pharaoh and bring my people out of Egypt. And he says, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. But, I mean, why don't you send somebody else? And, you know, he was trying to avoid the mission. And God works with him step by step and says, no, I will be with you. Lord, if you are with me, show yourself. And then he says, can I see, by the way, Lord, the Lord says to Moses, you know, he says, Moses, you will go. You know why? Because I know you by name. How is the Lord knowing you? By name. He knows your name. We might not know your name, but he knows you by name. And that's why he told Moses, I know you by name. Look, he says, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Do you know what Moses asked? He said, well, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Because I need to see your glory. I need to see something that will just make me know for sure that you will be with me, that I am your messenger, that I am not just thinking, imagining here. And the Lord says, you know what? You want to see my glory? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Because I am the one who I am. When you go to Pharaoh, he said, just tell him, Pharaoh, I am. Who sent me? I am sent me. What does he mean? I am the God who is, the God who was. Remember this morning we used the greeting from Revelation. It says, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. That is the Lord. That is the Lord. The Lord says, I am he who is. Not who was, but who is forever. I am self-existent, self-sufficient. I hold everything together. Time is not in my nature. I am out of time. I am out of space. I am infinite spirit, infinite wisdom. Nobody can see my face and leave, he said to Moses, but I will show you something. I will show you something. And God uses the names. And he said, I will show you my name, says to Moses. With Abraham, for instance, God said, you know, your name is Abram, but I will make it Abraham. Do you know what it means? Do you remember what it means? Abraham. It says, the father of many nations. That includes you and me, the Dutch, the Canadians, Americans, Romanians. We are all children of Abraham. And then when Moses is pulled out of the Nile by the princess of Egypt, the princess says, I will name you because the name is important. I will name you Moses because I pulled you out of the water. You are pulled out of the water. And God uses Moses to pull his people out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. It is a powerful name. And then when Moses says, can I see your glory? Can I see your glory? This is what the Lord says. He says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, and proclaimed his name. Do you want to see God's glory? He will come and proclaim his name. And it's, what's the name? The Lord. What's the Lord? Yahweh, right? Remember, the Lord is Yahweh. God is Elohim. The Lord is Yahweh. So the Lord comes to Moses and he says, Yahweh. What? What, Lord? Yahweh. And the Lord says, I will cause. Yeah. And he passed. This is what he says. Then the Lord came down. What is it? Yeah. In the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming. What is God proclaiming when Moses says, I want to see your glory? Look at what God is doing. He's proclaiming the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love. And that's how he comes to Moses. That's how he shows his glory to Moses. He says, have you heard my name, Yahweh? Yahweh. If you know my name, you know who I am. A Lord who is gracious, abounding in love, slow to anger. Wow, what an amazing God we have. Slow to anger. His character is tied to his name. His name and his character, his name and his identity are tied together. And he is jealous and he wants us to respect it, to honor it. Not to misuse it, but to use it correctly. In the entire Old Testament, we are called to proclaim the name of God. If you think about even in the Psalms, almost every Psalm says like this, give praise to the Lord. This is 105. Proclaim what? His name. His name. Make known among the nation what he has done. God's name and his actions are unified. They are the same thing. God's name and his glory. God's name and his acts. God's name and his identity are the same. And he says, proclaim his name. Say, Yahweh is the Lord. There's no other name as holy as he. You know that song, Waymaker? Waymaker, it says like this. It goes like this. Sorry, I'm just confused how those slides go. But the Waymaker goes like this. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. When we sing those things, we sing who God is. His name is linked to who he is. So the names are important, but the name of God is even more important. And second, this commandment tells us what we should not do with God's name. What we shouldn't do with God's name. And the commandment goes like this. You should not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You might say, why are you judging me? Nobody's judging us. We are not here to judge you, but we are here to tell you what the Lord is saying. And he says, I will not hold you guiltless if you misuse my name. It's not our word, it's God's word. We have to believe that this is not like a good reminder. It is a commandment. It is a commandment. Don't use God's name in vain. Your character and your words shape, as a Christian, if you are a Christian, your character and your words, they shape other people's opinion about God's character and reputation. Because we honor or we dishonor God, first of all, with our lives. Can I dishonor God's reputation, you might say? How can I dishonor God's reputation? When the people of Israel go in exile, this is what the Lord is worried about. They are in exile among the nations, among the Gentiles. This is what he's worried. He said, I had concern for my holy name. Not for them, for my holy name, which the people of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Profane means to take something that is holy and to make it unholy. Sacred means holy. Secular means unholy. So when we talk about a secular, we are a secular country or secular nation, means a nation without God. You take God and any holiness out of it. And the Lord said, I am concerned for my name. They are profaning my name. But not only by what we live, we honor and we dishonor God with our lips. With our lips. And you may say, well, I don't know if I know how I do that, but isn't this just for the Old Testament people? Look what Jesus says in the New Testament about our lips. It's not just a commandment through Moses at Mount Sinai. Jesus says this. In his teaching, Jesus says this, I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Everyone. That includes me. That's why we need to repent. And then Jesus says, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. It is words. We thought it's only deeds. No, it's also words. And this commandment refers to our speech, our words. And God says, I want you to sanctify, to clean up your mouth. It's like a good Dutch mom will do after you say something, right? She'll just take soap and put it in your mouth and clean your mouth because she's like, okay, I need to clean your mouth, You need to speak clean, boy, right? So what can we do? What can we do so that we do not break this commandment? First, maybe do not commit perjury. And this is in so many places. The Lord says very clear, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of God. Of God, right? Elohim. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. Do not swear. When you go and swear, you say, I will tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. The problem is you add the next line with, so help me God. You bring God into the equation. In the fall, we had to give our citizenship oath to this country. And you basically have to follow a judge's, ceremony. And it's an oath that you repeat. that you will respect this country, you will defend it even with your blood if you have to. But the last line kind of strikes your heart because you think, oh, this is just between me and the United States, right? As a Romanian, I'm coming to you. No, and it says, so help me God. And then you suddenly, a bolt goes through. You say, wow, this is, the Lord is involved in my oath, right? Almost every catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Westminster, they devote a huge sections to the Ten Commandments. Why? Because they are how we are supposed to live. And that's, if you look in the catechism, the same thing says, make sure that you do not take an oath that is unnecessary or you break it, right? Don't break your oath. Don't commit perjury, right? And don't forget your promises. You make promises in baptism. In the profession of faith, you make promises. In baptism, you come here and you bring your baby and you say, I promise before the Lord that I will teach this baby how to pray, how to know the Lord, how to study the Bible, how to read, how to disciple. And you, as a congregation, you respond, yeah, we too, we will promise that we will have Sunday school for kids, that we will have children classrooms, and we are going to nurture their faith, and we are going to raise them in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. And that's what we promise. And the Lord says, keep your promises. When you make profession of faith, you say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to stand by you. I'm going to witness for you. I'm going to be your child. And the Lord said, keep your promises. And then you have to keep your promises in marriage. But then a longer topic that I want to enter this morning is cursing and swearing. This is also in the catechism, is mentioned. Do you know that I came to the United States and they discovered that here, people when cursed, they like to use these names, the name of God, of Jesus, of Christ, of hell. Compared to my country, where I come from, most of the swear words are about the devil. We use the devil so often, you know? And that's an interesting distinction. But the Lord is the same here or there. And he says, don't do that. Sometimes we do it so flippantly, we don't even realize, right? Some families, you know, they are on this edge, you know, I would say the end of the pendulum. And others are here, right? So here will be, don't even pronounce the name of God, like those Jews, very strict Jews. And here will be people saying, oh, I don't, it's just words, you know, it doesn't matter what I say, you know. So this is a pendulum, right? But I know a family who said, you know, I want my kids not to even get close to being in trouble with the third commandment. So what they would say, don't even use the words like geez, you know, because it's about Jesus, or gosh, because it's about God, or oh my, because it leads to, oh my God. Don't use the name of the Lord, they will say in vain. Just stay as far as you can. Far away from that. And then on the other side of the pendulum there, people say, you know, I swear, but, you know, I never mean anything when I swear. It's just the way I talk, right? I remember talking to some of you who are either chaplains or something, and you, or just a mother, you know, going to visit a son someplace, and they will use swear language, and when they see the chaplain, they say, oh, sorry, chaplain, I didn't know you are here, kind of saying, you know, they will stop swearing. Or, oh, sorry, ma'am or miss, you know, I didn't know you are here. But basically, we feel that we should respect persons, you know, and clean up our language. But the Lord says, no, no, your language should be clean because of my name. Because when you offend, you don't offend only people. And in a way, swearing is the most gratuitous of all sins. Not only sinful, but useless. It doesn't do anything good. So you might say, then why do I do it? How can I stop? How can I stop sinning? Maybe the first thing is to confess, to say, Lord, I didn't even think of this third commandment. I didn't think of how much I use a curse or a swear word. I use it too often. Lord, just, I confess, I do it. I'm sorry. And then repent. Repent means you will say, you know, come Jesus and help me. Help me to turn away. I used to do this carelessly, but now I realize that you want me to clean my mouth, to use holy words, to use words that blesses people, lifts up people. So I'm going to leave all of these cursing words, and from now on, can you help me turn away? That means repent. You turn away from cursing and swearing to blessing, to saying encouraging, admiring words, good words, kind words, gentle words. Help me to do that. I finally ask God to help you stop swearing. Lord, come and help me. I like what D.L. Moody says. He says this, there will be no swearing man in the kingdom of God. They will have to drop that sin and repent of it before they see the kingdom of God. That's what we want. We want to ask God. Because when he fills your heart with love, the desire to curse is gone. So many witnesses have said that. I used to swear, people said. There was a guy who sweared every day. But then when he allowed Jesus to come in his life, change. Ask God to fill your heart with his Spirit, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. Self-control refers also to your tongue. So don't be afraid, even if you are a Christian, to say, Jesus, I want you. I want you to fill my heart. I don't want these words to fill my heart. Because Jesus says, you know, out of the heart come evil thoughts. And then you think, well, what are the evil thoughts? And then it's murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, slander, right? You say, well, only slander is words. The other one is actions. But Jesus says, no, clean your heart. So how can we honor? How can you honor Jesus' name? How can we put his commandment in a positive way? Well, just think about it. What is the commandment telling us to do? Well, first of all, it says, you shall not misuse the name. What can we do positively? Serve in Christ's name. You say, what? Yeah, when you serve somebody, serve. And whatever you do, maybe this is the clearest verse, parallel with the third commandment, the clearest verse in the New Testament. Whatever you do, whether in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17. In word and deed, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because sometimes we are tempted not to say that we do it in the name of Jesus, but if we are Christians, we should be proud of Jesus. We should be proud of our Christian name and go on. Second, maybe you pray. You say, why do we pray? Well, we pray in the name of Jesus, right? Jesus said this, until now you have not asked for anything in my name, but from now on in my name, in Jesus' name, he says, ask and you shall receive and your joy shall be complete. We pray, we gather. Why are we here? We are here in Christ's name, right? He said, for where two or three are gathered in my name this morning here, I am going to be there tomorrow, this afternoon for the public reading of Scripture. Tomorrow, every time we meet, if we gather in his name, he promised to be there with us. Hide, run to find shelter. Where do you find your shelter? This is what the proverb says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. Who doesn't want to have a fortified tower? The righteous run to it and are safe. Who is that? The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Make sure you do that. And then you might say, make sure that you remember that there is one name, only one name only. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Yahweh, shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other name. And then finally, we know that we worship in Jesus' name, right? We worship in Jesus' name. Therefore, God exalted Jesus Christ to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. There is no other name, no gods, Roman gods, current gods, no other religion, Buddha, whatever else. There is no other name as high as the name of Jesus. He is the highest name in the entire universe. You can even cast out demons in Jesus' name because his name is the highest. And his name is the one that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That is the name of Jesus. What did we sing this morning? We sang praise to the name of Jesus. We sang the songs, you know. We praise Jesus' name. What did we sing? The first song, if you remember, immortal, invisible, God only wise. In light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious. What do we praise? Your great name we praise. That's why our lives is a praise to this name, to this great name of Jesus. And remember, we are Christians. But Christ is the one who matters. He has this powerful name in which we gather. Don't be ashamed of him. And don't be ashamed to say we are Christians. It comes from the Bible. The first time the disciples were named Christians were in the city of Antioch. And by your life and by your lips, by what you say and by what you do, we build up the name of Jesus. And God says, do not misuse this name, but honor it, worship it, adore it, and call this name as your safety, as your tower of refuge. There's no salvation. If you're not saved, this is the place where you say there's no other name in which you can be saved but Jesus. Call the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, save me. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for the third commandment, for the name that we have to honor. This morning we are reminded that you want us to use your name positively, to use your name to bless and not to curse, to use your name to uphold your righteousness, your love, to proclaim to the nations who you are and how you love us as Jehovah, as Yahweh, as Elohim, the Lord who provides for us, the Lord who is with us, Adonai, the Lord of our hearts. So we come before you, Lord, and we ask that you will help us to repent of every time when we use your name in vain or we misuse your name. Help us to turn from our easy swearing words and to use words to bless your name, to bless others. And instead of using dirty words, help us to be people that use a clean language. We ask also that you will clean our act, that our lives will reflect who you are, so that we can be Christians that follow Christ, the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.